there were more lights went off than what we wanted, but we'll leave them off now, and that's all right. We'll be able to see the video good in just a little few, just a few minutes here. So unusual night tonight, but we've been talking about letting these people who went to the Bahamas on the missions trip, and I know that always brings a chuckle, you going to the Bahamas on a missions trip, but we have a missionary there from our church who was born there, has dual citizenship, Brother Jason Lowe. Brother Irvin, I hope this will be a blessing to you especially. I believe Jason's doing a wonderful job down there. He really is. And what was it, 16? Brother Hall, 16, went to Bahamas. And so we're just going to, I'm going to sit down and turn this part of the service. I do not have a message tonight. I'm going to talk to you just a little bit about that little booklet at the close of the presentation here. But we're going to turn this time over to Brother Hall and the young people and those married folks that went to the Bahamas and hear from them tonight. This should be a great blessing. We should enjoy this. So, Brother Hall, I was going to have the ladies sing one more time. I forgot about that. Okay, let's do that. Let's have the ladies come and sing. If y'all can see, y'all can do all right, okay? Let's do a couple of songs here, ladies. That'll be a blessing. And then we'll have Brother Hall come and have a few minutes tonight for the presentation. Thank you, ladies.
The more I trust Him, the more I love Him. Nothing good for me He'll deny. The longer I know Him, the better I can show Him. I couldn't stop now if I tried. Oh, it gets sweeter as the years go by. It gets sweeter as the moments fly. His love is richer, deeper, fuller, sweeter, 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 sweeter as the years go by. The moment He saved me, His good grace He gave me, He placed His love down deep in my heart. There's great joy in knowing with Him I am going, and evermore from Him to depart. Oh, it gets sweeter as the years go by. It gets sweeter as the moments fly. His love is richer, deeper, fuller, sweeter, 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 sweeter as the years go by. His love is richer, richer, deeper, deeper, fuller, fuller, sweeter, 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 sweeter as the years go by.
You may have sacrificed your time in seeking humanity's applause. Others have made long journeys to strange and distant lands, all searching for the answers in the heart of man. I too have tried in vain to be good enough for Him, not knowing I could never make the payment for my sin. But God in heaven came to me. He used a spirit sword. He answered all my questions in His word.
Nothing but the blood for me to take away my sin. I kneel beneath the fountain that cleanses deep within. Nothing but the blood for me, the past erasing flood of justice and mercy, found in nothing but the blood.
My heart is yielded to His call. A place that
could sing with me this song. Nothing but the blood for me to take away my sin. I kneel beneath the fountain that cleanses deep within. Nothing but the blood for me, the past erasing flood of justice and mercy, found in nothing but the blood. With nothing but the blood for me to take away my sin, I kneel beneath the fountain that cleanses deep within. Nothing but the blood for me, the past erasing flood of justice and mercy.
Looking forward to tonight. We've been looking forward to this for a while, and there are some very nervous people that are getting ready to give some testimonies. And really, you know, what is the purpose of tonight? Well, my heart and my hope is that you will see that when we were down in the Bahamas for the 10 days, that it wasn't just a vacation. And we didn't just go and we didn't hang out at the beach. You helped us many times through the fundraisers that we had, and you helped us to get there. And I don't want you to think that's all we did is just blow the money, had fun, you know, go out and shop, got some souvenirs. That wasn't the purpose. And I hope that you see that a little bit. Of course, you know, whenever I go anywhere, you know, I leave the church for Bahamas or for missions trip or for teen camp. Brother Brett always says, "How was the vacation?" So, you know, I'm going to send Brother Brett an all expenses paid week-long trip to teen camp, or better yet, junior camp. How about that, brother? So, I could be in the hospital for a week. How was the vacation? Hey, amen, brother. Faithfulness right there. So, but that's my hope. That's what I want you to see, is that there was a work to do, and I didn't have any problems with any of the people there. I didn't have any issues that I had to deal with. I didn't have to rein anybody in. I really believe that the people that came, that they came wanting to see God work through them. And we did. We saw that. And we're going to talk a little bit more about it. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But we've got three testimonies. We'll have a video. And then we're going to have four more testimonies after that. And then I'm going to get up and say something. Miss Capps, come on up. She's going to be the first one to speak tonight. So turning it over to you.
Well, this trip, it was really refreshing. And I remember one time we were standing on the beach and we were looking out, and I just was taking it all in. And there was another girl with us, Rose, and she came up and touched my elbow, and she said, "Isn't this worth all those grading papers and staying up late just to see this view?" And I thought that was great. But I wish we could take all of you to their church in Nassau, where you could personally meet the Lowe family and the members of Beacon Baptist Church. The first Sunday we were there, the people of that church, they just came up to us, and they warmed right up to us, and the ladies all hugged us, and they were smiling. They were so happy to see us there. And then Brother Lowe put us right into work, and we worked right alongside their folks with them in the ministries of their church. And so I got to help in the junior church the first Sunday. So I thought, I'll do this candy eating contest. We'll give the kids candy and they can eat it. So I had two boys come up and I gave them each candy. And before I even counted five, the one guy was gone. His candy was gone. And so he won. And I thought, that's when I discovered that all kids of nationalities, they all share a common interest. They love candy. And through the week, we got to help out in the areas of, it was called the VBS Mega Sports Camp. And then it was Mindy Raritan, Madison Maxwell, and myself. We got to work with the primaries, which is like 3 to 5 year olds. And we would have a Bible story, we'd do a craft, we'd play some games, and then there was a verse every day that you had to work with them to get them to memorize. And then at the end of the day, all the groups would get together and you'd have to quote your verse for them, and then all the coaches would search out and we'd pick a player of the day, and they would get, it'd be most valuable player of the day. Well, I remember one girl, the most, her name was Peyton, and she was only she was 7, but because she was a little slower, they put her in our group. And every day she'd ask me, she's like, did I win it? Did I win most valuable player? And so finally the coaches were like, let's vote for her. And I just remember that tug on my heart when she went up and she was so humble and she accepted that prize as the most valuable player of the day. So it was really exciting. Now, 9 days before we left, Brother Mick had given us his devotional. And I remember on that day I opened it up and it said, putting your heart into it. And little did I know that this would happen on this trip. Sometimes we'd come home really late at night, and I'd see the girls. They would get their lessons out, and they were preparing, and they're studying for the next day to be ready. And then throughout the week, there's chores to do. You had to clean, or there'd be dishes to do, or you have to make the meals. And there's always somebody volunteering. What can I do? What can I do to help out? If they needed a bus rider, workers, the teens would just hop on. Even when it was so hot on the bus, they were there. If I could bring back one memory from this trip to the Bahamas, it would be that we had put our heart into it. And someday when we get to heaven, we'll get to see the end result of what our work was done on this trip, and we'll personally witness and what we had accomplished by putting our heart into this trip. Thank you, Brother Mick, for putting it all together, and Preacher for letting us go. It was really fun. Thank you.
Well, I really enjoyed this Bahamas trip. I enjoyed trying new foods and seeing what the culture's like. But I also enjoyed the VBS, where I could teach kids Bible verses and share gospel with them. And some of them have came close to trusting the Lord as their Savior. And I really enjoyed getting to know the kids and teach them basketball, and I really enjoyed the huddle group time where we can teach them Bible verses, and we could share the gospel and get to know them better, and I really enjoyed this trip. I would definitely go back.
Amen.
Well, overall, the trip was very humbling, whether it was talking with the kids or visiting their homes. When we would go and drop them off, we would drive down these little tiny dirt roads, and they weren't much bigger than a sidewalk. And I was just like, wow, you know, we have concrete and street lights. The whole time we were there, I saw one street light. There was all stop signs, just one street light. So they don't have very much stuff, and I was just really looking around and just realizing all the stuff, you know, that we have and stuff that they haven't even heard of. But going to their homes, inviting people to church, you know, some of the houses had holes in the roofs. It had cracks going up the side of the houses. Weeds were growing everywhere. I mean, this one house we walked up to, you know, I opened the gate and, like, the handle fell off. And I was like, you know. But it was just like, you know, it just stuff there. It's not as great as we have here. So that was just really, you know, it made me thankful for the house that I have, for the property that I live on. Probably the highlight of the trip was meeting these two boys, not the big kind, the little kind. And brothers Sunil and Jensen were 9 and 7, and I really hit it off with them day one. I started talking to them, and every day we talked. Every day I tried to bring them something, a snack. I mean, you wouldn't believe these kids. They take in candy, they take in snacks, because they don't have stuff there, and the stuff that's there is like $15 for this little thing, you know. So every day I brought them gummies or something, and they just went nuts. But every day I would talk to them, and they started telling me about their dad, and they said that their dad didn't want them at VBS. Their dad didn't want them going to church, and then I came down that they said that their dad doesn't even like them. And that just really broke my heart, because it really made me thankful for my dad. And, I mean, these kids, their dad doesn't even care about them. And then Jensen, the older one, had told me that their dad actually abandoned them when he was 2 and Sunil was 7 months. And then he had just come back 2 years ago. So practically for the whole kid's life, you know, the beginning of his childhood, his dad was gone. So, and he had just told me that, you know, his dad abandoned him and, you know, his dad just didn't care about him. His mom and dad fought a lot. His little stuff, he was telling me his dad, you know, promised him a bike when he was 5 and he never got it. And it's just sad because kids remember things like those. So, I told the boys, I told Jensen, I was like, you know, Jensen, even if your father really doesn't care about you, you know you have a heavenly father who loves and cares about you. And they both, I was telling both of them, and they both understood. And they both told me they knew that they had, you know, Jesus would never leave them. He would always love them. And they both said they couldn't wait to meet him someday. So that was really encouraging.
On June 13, 2014, 16 people left Illinois, headed to the Bahamas. These 16 people were not your usual vacationers to the Bahamas, but rather on a trip, hoping to see God work through and in them for the next 10 days at the Beacon Baptist Church in Coral Harbor. We arrived at Coral Harbor late on Friday night and immediately got to work the very next morning knocking on doors and inviting people to the upcoming VBS Sports Camp. Later on that day, we went about preparing the park for the next week's activities, being sure to have some fun along the way. When Sunday arrived, we were eager to serve. Everyone was able to be involved in the ministry that day. Some taught or helped in Sunday school classes, others were involved in junior church, and we all had the opportunity to sing one of the specials for the morning service. It was truly a privilege to see God working in this young Bahamian church. But we were looking forward to this week's events. Once VBS started, we were incredibly busy, learning kids' names, teaching and playing sports, leading songs and building relationships.
Praise thee, Lord, for great thee.
The highlight of each day was the preaching time, where two of our men got to preach for the first time. Immediately after, there was a time when we had the opportunity to talk to the kids in our huddle groups about eternity. Through this method, 18 young people received Christ as their Savior. The last Sunday we were there, they had over 140 people in their morning service. Many of these were children who had attended that week and were now bringing their parents to church. Thank you for your prayers and support. We had a lot of fun on our trip, but we also feel we got a lot done for the glory of God.
This is my third year going. I've gone two other years before this, and for me it was just really neat to see everything that's happened in over the years. The church has grown a ton since the first time I went, and kind of like at the end of the movie where he said that a lot of kids came as a result of the BBS, it was kind of neat because I've seen people that last year they came just to see their kids. What they did throughout the BBS week was they would promote, if you participated in it, you would get a medal just for coming to church on Sunday. So a lot of parents would bring their kids to get the medal. And this year I saw families that have joined the church since last year because, you know, last year it was their first time coming to the church just to see, you know, their son or their daughter get this medal for being in BBS. And now they're members, they're helping with the church, and it's just really neat to see how big they've almost outgrown their building. That last Sunday it was packed out. All of our group was standing in the back because there wasn't room for everyone to sit down. So a couple of things that really impressed me were a lot of the Bahamian people actually got to help with the BBS, and more this year than I've seen, again, in the past 2 years, just because of that growth. There was one boy in particular, a teen guy named Theo, that he stayed with the guys at the church some, and the last 2 years has only been the water safety coach. He kind of, you know, gave water to the kids, not that big of a job. But this year he got to be a huddle coach, and he had his soccer team that he was with all week, and he really did a good job, and he's only 15, 16, but to see just where he's come from the first year, you know, I've seen him every year there, and he was teaching them the memory verses and really getting excited about it. And he's a more quiet guy, but just to see him get excited serving the Lord over in the Bahamas was really neat. And actually, the boy that took over his job as the safety coach was on my BBS, my soccer team last year, and he was just too old to be part of it this year. So now he's starting to help. And, you know, in a couple of years, I don't know, maybe he'll be a huddle coach too. But aside from the whole Vacation Bible School, it was really neat just to be able to see and talk with Brother Jason and Miss Heather again. They're just so neat to be around, and We got to go out to eat. I love the conch fritters over there. If you ever go, they have conch fritters that are really good. And then we got to go out on a sailboat, and it was really, really neat. The best was probably the last night we were there. Brother Jason killed a tarantula out in their garage. And I'm glad it was the last night I was there and not the first night, because I would have been a little nervous otherwise. I would really encourage anybody that has an opportunity to go on a trip like this just to take the chance to, because you can see lives changed. And everybody asked me, so are you, they've seen me for 3 years. I know a lot of the church members, and they all want me to come back next year with a baby. And I said, well, I don't know, we'll have to see. But I don't know, we'll see. But it was a really great time, and I would encourage anybody to do it. So.
All right. So at the airport, I was kind of nervous because the guy that checks the bags, he saw this blue strip in my book bag, and I didn't know what it was. So he had the guy open my bag and check it. And he reached down in my bag, pulled out, and it happened to be a knife. And so I was getting kind of nervous. I thought they weren't going to let me go to the Bahamas. And then I looked to my left, and Brett and Ethan are just laughing at me. So they were a big help. But after being in the Bahamas, it makes me more appreciative of America and the things we have here. One of the things I noticed was many of the kids, they came every day to the sports camp. They have the same clothes on. They don't have any different pairs of clothes. And that's something we take for granted, because we can just go to the store, pick up some clothes, put them on, like nothing, and then they don't have anything. Another thing I noticed was many of the stores we went in, they had children working there, and they only got money from the tips the customers gave them. And they can't take that money and spend it for themselves. They have to bring it home and provide for their family, too. The dad, he can't just provide for the family or the mom. Everyone in the family has to provide for them to make a living. And the next thing I noticed was how small some of the houses were. We were on a bus route, and we pulled up to this one house. It was no bigger than probably a shed you have in your backyard. And one thing I really enjoyed was being a part of the huddle groups. I enjoyed getting to know the kids, where they went to school, and learning about them, learning about their life. I even got to lead one of the kids in my huddle group to the Lord. His name was Naeem. He was 6 or 7. And lastly, I just want to thank my mom and dad for allowing me to go on this trip. I really enjoyed going, and I would really want to go back. And preacher, thank you for allowing this group to go. Thank you.
Well, when I started dating Emily, she made it very clear from the beginning that the question wasn't going to be if we were going to the Bahamas, but when we would be going to the Bahamas. So I agreed, knowing that if I wanted this relationship to go anywhere. So like Brother Mick mentioned in the beginning about when you hear the same words, Bahamas and mission trip, the following phrase is suffering for Jesus. So I really thought, how bad could it be? When we arrived at the Lowe's house, we were greeted by a lock gate, one English Mastiff, 2 Pit Bulls, and 1 giant Schnauzer. And I mean a giant Schnauzer. When we walked inside, we were hit by that 92-degree heat wave, and I realized that this wasn't Paradise Island. We were on the mission field. On Sunday night at about 11:30, Brother Jason was a little stressed out just for preparing for the upcoming week, and he mentioned that he had to go get a bus on the other side of the island because their church's bus broke down, so they were having to borrow a different one. It was about a 2-hour drive, so I said, hey, Brother Jason, I know you got to go get a bus. Would you like me to ride just to be a company? Well, he missed that first part, ride, get the bus tonight, and he took that as, hey, Brother Jason, I love to wake up at 5:30 in the morning with you so we can go and pick up all the kids. That is not what I said, but somehow that's what he interpreted it as. Well, since we were there to serve, I couldn't exactly say no and back out of it, so I agreed. I didn't really have any trouble staying awake on the bus once we started in a town. Because behind all the billboards and commercialization of Paradise Island, the Bahamas, and Atlantis, and all the resorts, there are people there. Lots of people, lots of poor people. I saw men piling in the back of a truck, some up to 8 or 9 men in the back of a single S10 pickup truck, boys as young as 13 or 14 years old, and men as old as 65, 70, I would say. Just like Zach was talking, everybody there works. The average wage there is $150 a week. It doesn't matter what job you do, straight $150. All the kids have to work. Just because everything is so expensive and a single dad cannot provide over there. I saw houses with barbed wire on the roofs in the inner city just because people, robbers, will get up on the roof trying to break through. For that 2.5-hour ride, I got to see firsthand Brother Jason's heart for the people. I got to see Pastor's message this morning in action about loving, having a love for people. It was then on that bus ride that I prayed for God to change my heart so that I could have the right mindset. Because my duty for the week was the basketball coach, or assistant basketball coach. Sorry to steal your thunder. Assistant to the basketball coach. And yes, I'm 6'6". I'm from Indiana, but no, I do not really enjoy basketball. I'm sorry. I mean, you could use that same stereotype. What, you're short. Does that mean you work for Willy Wonka? But it doesn't. I mean, I just wasn't too thrilled when Brother Mick asked me, but I didn't really have the heart to say it. But the best thing about these kids was their attitude. They really didn't have much. The parents were always gone. They lived in these shacks. And I thought to myself, you could be mad for what you don't have or thankful for what you do have. And that is exactly what these kids were. Their attitudes were unbelievable. I didn't have to be a great player. I just needed to be a friend and an encourager. There are 3 boys that I'd like to briefly talk to you about. The first one was Jordan. He, like me, was stereotyped as a potential basketball player because he was an older, taller boy, but he couldn't make a shot to save his life. Every single time he went to shoot, he was always doing a fingertip underhand, and it was really frustrating at first because we told Luke McDonald and I worked with him for 2 days just trying to get him to shoot overhand, and he would never do it. But finally on Wednesday, we finally got him to do it, and then on Thursday, he was voted the most valuable player. He finally got the shot down, and on Friday, his team won the championship. So that was really encouraging to see. The second boy was the boy that Zach mentioned, Naeem. Naeem was without a doubt the staff's favorite. He was small, short, 6 or 7 years old, and he couldn't miss a shot. Every single time he got up there, he would always sink all his threes. After the VBS was over and the boys were out there all playing, all the staff would all be chanting, Naeem, Naeem, every time he did it. The neat thing about Naeem was, like Zach said, he was able to lead him to the Lord, and I was able to talk to his parents on Sunday. I went up to him, introduced myself, told him what a great kid he had and his potential basketball skills, but I would just talk to him like I couldn't believe how friendly and how outgoing he was and his great attitude. And his parents said, you know what, we really appreciate that. We've been looking for a church, and all Naeem has talked about was how much he's enjoyed this VBS, and we would like to start coming here. And like Emily said, the VBS has been just another tool for getting future people into their church. The last person was a boy named Steven. And as soon as I say Steven, I can tell Brother Mick's like, oh no. Because Steven was a very, I'm trying to think of the right word. Like, first word pops in my fleshly mind is frustrating, but I know it's a better word because Steven was mentally slow. And it was really hard for us as basketball coaches because every drill we tried to do, whether it be like a passing or a dribbling or a running, Steven was always slowing us down. We had time constraints. It was like always like, okay, come on, Steven, let's go, because he was really eating up a lot of our time. But after looking back, after the first few minutes into it, all the boys were never giving him a hard time. On the last day when we were doing knockout, there were 30 boys into it, and the guy behind them would never knock Steven out. In fact, all the guys that were already knocked out were all chanting Steven's name and encouraging. Sometimes it would take Steven 10, 12, 15 shots to make it, but the kid behind would intentionally miss it, intentionally knock the ball, so he had to go get it really far, or even the other boys would hurry up and get the ball, because they just all had that love and wanted to cheer him on and stuff. It was really neat to see. This trip taught me a lot about being thankful for my upbringing, godly parents, and all of God's provisions, and to love people and have a heart for them. Apart from the VBS, there were some fun stuff that we did. I don't believe that there is a verse missing in the Bible, but if there was one, it would be somewhere in Genesis. It would say, "And God made a mango tree, and it was good." And guess what? I found that mango tree. I don't know why, like as soon as I got there, I actually judged the Lowe's house, the church, and the park by the local mango trees. I knew where every single one was. It's not that I enjoy picking stuff out of my teeth, but believe me, I did. But I figure if they can carry around a comb in their back pocket, I can carry some dental floss. The other thing that we did was sailing on the 72-foot yacht, our sailboat, which was kind of cool at first, but after 2 hours of setup, and then we had to take it down because of rain, I was thinking, why are we doing this? We have motors. Like, it was kind of cool, but after what, not so much. I don't know if you realize in the picture you saw Brett, Zach, and Ethan throwing stuff up in a tree. That was their method of fun was finding beehives and throwing it down. The highlight line that I can think of for the week is after they knocked down the first hive, they got halfway down knocking down the second hive. The bees came, a couple of the guys got stung, they all ran away like little girls. And Brett goes, "Hey guys, let's go back. I haven't got stung yet." And I'm thinking to myself, well, I haven't got hit by a car. That doesn't mean I have to go play Frogger in the middle of the highway, but that's just how they rolled. We went snorkeling on the last day. That was a lot of fun. And then we went spear fishing. And you don't really realize how smart fish are until you pull out a spear. Because all before, there's like fish everywhere. As soon as we pulled out the spear, not a fish in the ocean. Except for two sharks and three barracuda. That was the only thing I saw. But if you ever have an opportunity, people, I really encourage you to take it. And I know they cost money, but so does the Xbox or that first car you're saving for. Our work for Christ is so short, and all the material things in this life are even shorter. But I know for a fact that the stuff that was accomplished on this mission trip will last forever. Thank you.
Well, it's definitely hard getting up after that, but I'll try my best. Before I begin, I would like to thank Brother Mick and Miss Leah for taking the time to take us on this missions trip. I know it was a long time to be away from your boys, but I really appreciate it. It was a really great opportunity and experience, and it's something that I will never forget. My part of the VBS was to be a huddle coach. Throughout the week, I had a group of girls that I worked with, and we had two huddle times, the first where I taught them a lesson that applied to the point of the day, and the second where we followed up on the preaching and their salvation. It was so neat to be with the same girls for the whole week. It gave me an opportunity to really get to know them and their lifestyles. I also got to be a part of the church services in many ways. I was involved in the special music, and I got a chance to teach the primary class in Sunday school, which definitely pulled me out of my shell. I also helped in the junior church, which surprisingly is held in a broken-down bus behind their church. But the second Sunday we were there, it was so hot and there were so many kids that they just got chairs and lined them in the alley with the hot sun shining right in the kids' faces, but they didn't think anything of it. They were just so excited to have church outside. But this definitely made me more thankful for the beautiful facilities that God has given us. As I talked with the kids, I realized how spoiled we are here in America. I realized that I was taking things for granted, little things like candy and stuff that we get cheap here, because the kids, they just love the candy that we gave them. Because sometimes to buy one bag of candy, like Amanda said, it was $15 just for one bag. But as I was thinking about the little things, I realized that I took for granted the big things too. I talked to one girl, and her family has four older teenage daughters, and they all have to sleep in the same bed. Not one room, one bed. And I thought I had it bad just sharing a room with Leah, but that definitely made me more thankful for the house that I have, like everyone said. But one thing that stuck out to me was how content the kids are. They all had the biggest smiles on their faces, all because we gave them a piece of candy. And the four girls that share one bed, they were probably the sweetest girls there. But it was really encouraging also to see that there's a church just like ours in another country. And Brother and Mrs. Lowe are doing an incredible job, and so many of their church people jumped right in and helped us with such a serving spirit. And I know there's lots of jokes made tonight, but I already wrote this before tonight. So we often joke about, you know, how tough it must be to be a missionary in Bahamas. But as I went there, it truly is a needy land, and there are lots of people who need the Lord. So.
Turning your Bibles to the book of 3 John. 3 John. After hearing all of that, I should have gone first. But I don't have much left to say. But we did. We had an outstanding time. We enjoyed ourselves. We did. I mean, it's hard not to have a good time when you're with this group. This group was a very fun group. They were very. No matter what we were doing, no matter what happened the first few days, we didn't have a bus, so we couldn't go anywhere. And so it was, hey, let's go find a beehive and knock it down. It was, you know, let's go to the park, drag out the volleyball poles, let's play volleyball, let's do this. You know, I got to tell you this story. We've already heard about the beehive. Well, one of the young men on the trip decided that it would be a very interesting thing if the light in the hallway was red. I know, exciting. So he went to the local market, walked in there, walked down the aisles, and he found a red light. This red light was $8. So he takes the light, pays for it, and giggling all the way goes back to the church. They go into the church, they open up the package, the light falls out and breaks. You would think that's it. No, they needed a red light in the hallway. He goes back and buys another $8 red light. He plugs it in, and you know, so I walk in and they're giggling. And Brother Mick, why don't you go down the hallway? What did you do? You know what is going on? Did you put a hole in the wall? And I go, and so I flip on the light and it's red. I'm like, oh, thank you, God. Thank you, it's not anything worse. And so, but for $16, they got some enjoyment. Red light. There are so many stories that we have, right, Brother Reed? So many stories. And Brother Reed, what we'd have to do is we would clear out the church auditorium. You saw the auditorium. We'd have to clear out the auditorium, bring in our stuff. We'd have our air mattresses, and then we'd have our bags in the back room. So we'd pull out our air mattresses, and we'd have all of that. And, you know, when I first got there, I said, you know what, I'm used to this. I'll be out here with the teenagers. And, Brother Reed, you can go. There's a room off to the side. You can stay over there, and you can, you know, get a good night's rest. I realized that was a bad mistake. The first, staying up till midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, ha-ha, red light, ha-ha, you know. And Reed is in the room over there. He's got his iPad with violin music cranked up as loud as it'll go. I'm like, oh. Hey, Reed, you want to trade? He didn't. But we did. We had a great time and not a single problem. And what I was really, really impressed with about this group was their heart to serve. They had a heart, and whatever I asked them to do, okay, yeah, let's do that. You know, if it was some of them, it was a hard request. Good night, Sheriff got to sing like every single special. She sang like 5 times while we were there. And you know what? Didn't bat an eye. Sure, Brother Mick. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I'll do that. And others, you know, hey, can you teach a lesson? Sure, Brother Mick. That's fine. Yeah, you bet. They one of them, I think it was Emily, staying up late and preparing the lesson and just getting everything ready. And some of it we weren't prepared for. We didn't know what we had to do. And so it was, here's a lesson. Learn this for tomorrow. And they did it. And they didn't just get there and no. They put the heart into it. And that was exciting for me to see. But some things that I noticed while we were there, it goes along with this right here in 3 John. We're going to read just some of these verses here. Starting verse number 1, we'll read down through verse number 8. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. The first thing that I noticed was the faithfulness. The Lowe's are doing an incredible work there. They really are. When we got there, the first service, again, never been there before. I didn't know what to expect. And as soon as you got there, man, they'd start singing and everybody just sang out, man, to the top of their lungs. And and even though there was a little bit of a different accent, when they started singing, it just felt like home. It was the same songs that we sing. It was the same songs, similar hymnal. They open it up and they sing to the top of their lungs, just praising God. And to see that the Lowe's had built that church and that all the work that the Lowe's had done there, it was exciting to see that. It's an exciting church, and it's a live church. It's a growing church. As Emily said, it's a church that we just really enjoyed seeing, and it's because of the faithfulness that the Lowe's have shown over the years. Talking to some of the people, there was a man by the name of Carlo, and I got to talk to him, and he got to just give me his testimony a little bit, and he said that his sister invited him to church, and while they were at church, he was searching. He didn't know what can be found. He didn't know what could solve the problem that he was having, just no peace in his life. And his sister said, "Come to church with me." So he came to church, and then the following week, Brother Lowe went back and visited him. And Brother Lowe was able to sit down and witness to him, and he got saved. He was the head coach of the soccer this week at camp. He was the head coach. He was in charge of the whole soccer and everything that they did. And as he was telling me about how Brother Lowe had just helped him, and Brother Lowe would just, sometimes he said, "Man, sometimes it felt like he was just pushing me, but I needed that." And that's just a faithful man. It was good to see Brother and Mrs. Lowe both. We had 98 kids come, and you say, "Well, we had more than that at our vacation Bible school." They had one bus. 98 kids. Brother Lowe had the bus. Miss Lowe had the van. They take numerous trips going back and forth, picking up families, picking up people. And just several people. The Lowe's were personally responsible for reaching those people. And so what I see was that they were faithful. Just like in verse number 5, "Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren." And that's what we saw. We saw a church, we saw a missionary and his family that were just faithful to what had been taught to them, that they had gotten from their family and from their church. And Brother Lowe wanted me to say hi to everybody. Brother Lowe wanted me to tell you that he loves you and that he misses being here, but he loves being in the ministry. And so it was good to see his faithfulness. The next thing that I saw was in verse number 8. "We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth." You know, America is truly a blessed nation. We have a strong foundation that was built on the Bible, originally built on the Bible. As much as they might be trying to tear that foundation up, that's what it was built on. But one thing that stood out to me is that America isn't the only country that God is working in. It's not. And as much as we might think that we have the corner on that market, we don't. We were there, and the same God that blesses in Bourbonnais, Illinois, and the same God that blesses in Santa Clara, the same God that blesses all over America is blessing down in Coral Harbor, Bahamas. He is blessing, and like I said, just the song service, Wednesday night, they opened up and they had a prayer list. And then they invited everybody to come down and to pray. And I knelt there with my wife and we prayed, and I thought, man, this is just like home. Was it home? No. But there was a spirit that just bared witness. And there was fellow helpers in the work. It was said over and over, the people that were there, they were helping, they were involved. When we went out soul winning, we weren't the only people that went out soul winning. There were several people that came out and wanted to get involved and wanted to work and wanted to be a part. And they were, they did. And God is blessing. And there are people in Bahamas. We didn't steal the show. I hope that we helped, and I'm from what I heard that we did. But we didn't steal the show because they've got people there that are working, and they've got people there that God is blessing with, and God is using people there. We stepped in and we were able to help out with junior church, but they had a junior church preacher. We were able to help out in several areas. They had people that were singing. You know, selfishly, you know, I thought, man, we're coming down here and we're helping them and we're going to be a blessing in singing. We got to sing several times every service. Well, we sang Sunday morning and then sang Sunday night. And I was thinking, man, I bet that was a blessing to the people. And then Brother Lowe just said, hey, you know, let me show you this. And it showed their teenage girls who had gotten up months before and had sang. And it just the same excitement because the Holy Spirit blessed with them, just like He was blessing when we were there. And so that's what I saw, just the faithfulness of a man, the faithfulness of some people. But then also I saw some fellow helpers. And I'm thankful that God used us. I'm thankful that we were able to be a help and a blessing. And I hope that you saw that we didn't just go and hang out at the beach. We did have some fun. We did enjoy ourselves. But that wasn't the purpose. And that wasn't the main thing. I think you could see it in their hearts. Everybody that came up and gave a testimony, I didn't beg them to. I didn't make them. These two boys, I didn't say, you're giving a testimony. In fact, I gave them an out. And they said, we want to. And that's because God worked in their hearts. And that's the whole reason why we did that. It's because we wanted to see God do something through us. Pastor?
I enjoyed that. Hope you got a blessing out of it. I enjoyed that immensely. Thank you, young people, for your testimonies. And Brother Hall, you did a wonderful job. You and Leah, thank you. Excitement. It's exciting to serve God. It's exciting to find somebody else to put your life into. And I hope you young people got a taste of that on this trip, even more so than you do here at your home place. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, if you'll come, we're not quite done, but I want to just give a brief opportunity for an invitation now. So if we can come to the pianist and the organist would come. I wonder if through the testimony, through the video was touching. It was well done. It was a blessing to see the young people with the Bahamian children. We do take things for granted. We have been blessed and spoiled. It's so wonderful to be used of God. How long has it been? How long has it been since you knew God really used you in somebody else's life? Surrender. You don't have to go to the mission field. Serve right where you're planted, right where you are. But give it all to the Lord. Father, bless, I pray, this good time of testimony and report tonight. Speak to our hearts. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, the ladies are playing. If you want to come in and pray just for a minute, you step out. We won't linger long tonight in this invitation. You let the Lord deal with your heart about something specific. If you need to be baptized, if you want to join the church, you've talked to me about it. Now's the time to come. While we wait tonight.